Minnesota.
Hi, everybody. My name's Scott, and I'm an alcoholic and not used to not seeing the crowd over there. But it's nice to be here. My sobriety date is March 1st, 1976. And my home group is the Aurora, Minnesota Big Book Group. And we meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's really not just the Billy said about the concepts, that we'll talk about the concepts. And we're going to talk about the concepts tonight. But we also are going to talk about what it is to be a home group member, what it is to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to be a part of this fellowship. There they are. Hi, guys. I got the crowd there. All right. And, you know, and I think that's what's so important. And I think for me, in many cases, I think that's what's missing in Alcoholics Anonymous today, is that somehow, some way, we think that our home group is AA, that that's all there is, that there is whatever else is out there really isn't all that important. You know, we may have another meeting we go to here or there, but our AA world is just a small little world for the most part. Online meetings and the lockdown change a lot of that for a lot of us. You know, if you live in a town like Aurora, Minnesota, that's got 1,600 people in it, and you go to the same meetings all the time, and you know the same people, you know everything they're going to say. And then we start going to online meetings, and we see this very, very large fellowship with lots of sobriety and lots of different AA, lots of different kinds of AA. We come from an area where the AA is basically roundtable discussion, usually Big Book or 12 and 12 or some kind of a topic. Very few speaker meetings, very few speaker. In fact, I don't think there is any speaker discussion meetings. But we still are members of a group in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, I just see what goes on in AA. And one of the things I was thinking about when making this talk was, in northern Minnesota, there's about 550 AA groups. At least there was before the pandemic. And you'd go to an area assembly, and there would be maybe 40 to 50 general service representatives at that meeting. So that's a 10% or less participation in Alcoholics Anonymous. And to me, that indicates a severe problem. Now, I don't know that it's like that in southern Minnesota. I don't know if it's like that in Virginia. But, you know, that's the kind of participation we have. And that's a problem. We have 10% of the groups participating. And what, you know, I guess the, back to the home group, you know, the home group is where everything started for me. It's where I finally asked for help. It's where help was given to me, where I was introduced to the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It's where I was introduced to service in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my first job, well, I was elected co-chair. Now, as many of you probably heard the story, there was no co-chair before me. And as far as I know, there was no co-chair after me. This is a job they made up, so I didn't go running out the doors. They gave me a responsibility. And you know, and it started me on a journey that I could have never have dreamt of. Also, I think in a home group for me, we have something called sponsorship. And we, you know, our sponsors aren't always in our home groups. In the beginning, a lot of times they are, though. It's usually somebody within our own group. It's a home group is really the base of the entire fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous to me. There used to be a pamphlet around, I think it's like said something like the home group, where it all starts or something along those lines. Maybe it was a local piece of information, but I believe that to be true. Now, I today believe that there are still a lot of good home groups, but I don't know that how many of them are participating in Alcoholics Anonymous, that we lack in our participation. And, you know, Billy wanted to mentioned a little bit about a little bit of background on some of this stuff. And I was just going to say that, you know, we have three legacies here in Alcoholics Anonymous. We have our legacy of recovery. And, you know, that was pretty much given to us when that book, Alcoholics Anonymous, was published in 1939. It really kind of sealed the deal for the way out for people like me, for a spiritual awakening, for me to become a useful member of society. And then in 1950, we confirmed the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the 12 traditions to me are all about sacrifice. They're about sacrificing. And they're about putting the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous before me and before you. Because without AA, there's no me and you. Not in my book, there isn't. If there's no Alcoholics Anonymous to go to, I fail. I'm not going to stay sober. I tried that up many times before I got to AA. And, you know, traditions are one of the first things I saw when I came to AA. Now, I didn't know that's what I was seeing, but the door was unlocked. The meeting room was set up. The coffee was made. The literature was on the table. That's the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous in action. That's unity, a group's unity. And that was all there when I walked in. And then there was money in the basket. I didn't know what I was putting money in the basket for, but, you know, they're all doing it. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. They didn't have any kind of an announcement. So we have that second legacy where it asks us to make sacrifices for the good of the whole of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have to ask myself, what kind of sacrifices have I made? Have I been able to place the principles of AA before my ideas, my plans? Or sometimes maybe it's placing AA first before my comfort. We all like to have our comfort, you know, like to turn on Netflix or whatever, Hulu, and watch TV. Or maybe it's, you know, it's the time for something going on outside or some activity. But occasionally I have to make some sacrifices of my time for Alcoholics Anonymous. Put AA first. And if you get involved in Alcoholics Anonymous service, you will learn that you need to make some sacrifices, that it will take some of your time. It will take some time away from your family. They're the ones who really start making the sacrifices to let you go and to be a part of these things. Service, that came about in 1955 at St. Louis, where we accepted the third legacy process that had been in place since 1951. And service is not just the concept. Service is, if anybody has a copy of the service manual, it tells you about the service structure. For me, the service structure starts again at the home group and then moves on through the district and up through the area and then into the General Service Conference. And some things in some areas have also got intergroups, but that's really not part of the third legacy process. You know, to be a part of AA as a whole, we need to be connected in that chain of communication. And that's what I believe the third legacy is a chain of communication where information flows from my group to a district meeting where we interchange information with your group, and then that district moves that on to the area assembly, and that area assembly then sends a delegate off to the General Service Conference, who then meets with 93 or 92 other delegates and the Board of Trustees and staff, and they make a group conscience. And then that information flows back through that chain again. It's a two-way flow. It's not just a one-way thing. The General Service Office and Conference doesn't tell us anything. We just get reports back from what happened there. And we share what happens at our group that goes that way. It's a nice flow that's supposed to work. And I don't know how the idea has ever came about that the third legacy was about changing AA. It never was that while I served in Alcoholics Anonymous. It was about carrying the message the best we could in our area and in our community. It wasn't about let's change this and change that. That all to me sounds like personal agendas. And it says in our traditions that in AA there's no place for personal ambition. And to me, that's personal ambition. That's not sacrificing for the good of the whole. Boy, this might be a soapbox time here. You're careful. And I hope I'm not losing everybody here. But in the third legacy, in the service legacy, it starts in the group. We elect a GSR. You know, we elect all kinds of officers in our group. We used to when our group was bigger, but we have treasurers, we have chairpersons, we have coffee makers. You know, we have GSR. We don't have a GSR currently. Our group is out of the loop currently because we're out of the communication system because we don't have a GSR. We need fresh blood, obviously, in our group. But it's, you know, that third legacy then has that structure that I talked about, and our group has to be a part of it. If we truly want a true group conscience in Alcoholics Anonymous, the more informed groups, the better off the group conscience is going to be. And part of the 12, part of the third legacy today, since 1962, when the 12 concepts were approved. And the 12 concepts are a set of spiritual principles, as spiritual as the 12 steps are, as spiritual as the 12 traditions are. And if you ever get a chance, please read some of these things. I might read a paragraph or two, but and I don't remember if I set the timer. Somebody wave if nothing else. Yeah, I forgot to start it. So anyway, the 12 concepts, I'm going to try to get into them a little bit. But Bill worked on these 12 concepts a long time. When you study AA history, you start to see these words and these ideas in full sentences. When he's developing the traditions, you start to see the concepts already starting to take place. And in the 50s, he worked a great deal on developing these concepts. And he had a hard time actually getting these concepts approved for whatever reasons. I've got a lot of that background information and I've read some of it, but not everybody thought they were a good idea. But to me, what the concepts are about is for us to learn how to get along together and interact together. That nobody is more dominant or more powerful or has more authority than the next person. That they teach us how to get along. And boy, don't we need to learn how to get along. That's what the tradition teaches too. And really, isn't that what the recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous does? It shows me how to start to get along, how to become part of the world again. The concepts really are masterful. They're a masterful piece of writing. Sometimes a couple of them get a little bit wordy. especially if you're not familiar with what trustees and general service boards are and all of those kinds of things. But overall, they're very spiritual principles. And concept one, I'm not going to read the thing to you, but concept one talks about the final responsibility and the ultimate authority for Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know where that all lies? It doesn't lie necessarily in the General Service Board. It lies in the groups. I think by the time we get done with this talk, we're all going to realize that our groups are responsible for Alcoholics Anonymous. And this concept, they talked a great deal about tradition too. You know, that we our group conscience is loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. And we have these trusted servants. We have these leaders in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the concepts talk a great deal about leadership in Alcoholics Anonymous. And we'll get into that for sure. So my questions to you are we being responsible for Alcoholics Anonymous? My old sponsor always taught me, whenever I ask him a question, he would always ask me a question. So I'm prone to do that during these kind of talks. Are we being responsible for Alcoholics Anonymous? You have to ask yourself that. I can't answer that. What are we doing to be responsible if we are? Are we going to these district meetings? What happens when somebody says, tonight is business meeting? How many go the other direction and how many stay for the business meeting? And which bunch are you with? The ones that go out the door and don't come back, or the person who sits down and wants to be a part of the group of Alcoholics Anonymous? Do we participate beyond our group? Do we go to the prisons? Do we go to the treatment centers? Do we go to the district meeting? And, this talked about the ultimate authority. You and I in our AA groups are the ultimate authority in Alcoholics Anonymous. There is no other. But if we don't use the process, our authority means very little, does it? I wanted to read the last paragraph of that concept because it's just so, some of Bill's best writing, I think, is in the concepts. It says, therefore, we believe that we see in our fellowship a spiritualized society, characterized by enough enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love of man and of God to ensure that our democracy of world service will work under all conditions. We are confident that we can rely on tradition too, our group conscience and its trusted servants. Hence, it is with a sense of great security that we old-timers have now fully vested in AA's General Service Conference the authority for giving shape through the labors of its chosen delegates, trustees, and service workers to the destiny of this, we trust God in his wisdom, is holding in store for us all. Very spiritual indeed. Tradition 2 talks about the voice of AA. The voice of AA, the official voice of AA, is the General Service Conference, which is you and I and our AA groups getting together at the General Service Conference, and that is our group conscience. If my group's not a participant, that affects the groups, it affects the group conscience, it affects the voice of Alcoholics Anonymous. Is our group voice being heard? My home group isn't being heard at the district and through this structure. It's not being heard. And tradition 3 talks about the right of decision. And we got some pretty good deals going on with the right of decision and leadership we all have some rights here. And the next two or three of these are about our rights, the right of decision. When we elect the coffee maker, you know, we allow him some rights. When we ask somebody to go get cookies, we don't necessarily tell them they have to be double stuffed Oreos. You know, we leave some of these decisions up to the people who are doing the work. When you're a GSR, you're going to talk about some things that the group hasn't talked about yet, and you bring them back to the group. You know, nobody tells the guy who put the chairs away how to put the chairs away, you know, beyond the obvious, or how to sweep the floor. We have these decisions that we all have. We have the right to make decisions. And sometimes in AA, I have made some bad decisions. I don't know about anybody else, but but we have given this right. We have been given this right to make decisions, and nobody can take that right away from you. AA is the most democratic thing I have ever seen or heard of. We were talking about this earlier. You know, that this whole process that our founders laid out for us through the recovery program, through the 12 traditions of unity, and through the service structure, we have been given the most wonderful political free process of carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous or anything that I've ever heard of. The only one thing ever screws up the whole deal, you and me, is it Clancy's statement, the only thing wrong with Alcoholics Anonymous is that it's full of alcoholics, you know. So, you know, that's kind of just the way it is. I mean, we're gonna make mistakes, and we're gonna get ego driven. And if you get involved, if you don't get involved, you're still just as ego-driven. So you might as well just bring it to the darn business meeting and the district meeting anyway. You know, let other people see it. You know, that's where you learn about it. I've learned so much about myself by being involved in the third legacy, where people hurt my feelings sometimes, not intentionally. They weren't talking about me, but geez, I thought I had a good idea, and they shot it down. You know, these things hurt you, hurt your feelings. But, you know, the worst that can happen is you just go home and write a fourth step on it and tell your sponsor, and you just move on and use the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this right of decision, I love. And one thing that's part of our of our concept is, in the concept is built a system of checks and balances, where we're given responsibility and we're given authorities and we're given the right to vote and to participate. This is a whole system of checks and balances to keep us all in check. And good luck with that when you're dealing with alcoholics. I'll tell you, keeping us all in check. It's, you know, it's the old thing that Nell Wing wrote about in her book, you know, where AA is a log floating down a river and is covered in ants. And every one of them ants thinks they're steering the damn log. You know, this is AA. This is the way we operate. You know, we all think we're in charge and we all want to be in control, but a lot of us don't do anything. We just sit back and do nothing. We don't go to the business meeting. Well, we don't go to the treatment center. You know, we don't want to sacrifice a little time. So, you know, I got the last paragraph marked here, so I should try to read the last paragraph in this too. We have the right of decision in Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is what the last paragraph of Concept 3 says. Our entire AA program rests squarely upon the principle of mutual trust. We trust God, we trust AA, and we trust each other. Therefore, we cannot do less than trust our leaders in service. The right of decision that we offer them is not only the practical means by which they may act and lead effectively, but it is also the symbol of our implicit confidence. We give people the right to make decisions, and we need to trust the decisions that they make. But we have always a way to keep the discussion going if we don't think they made the right decision. And that will lead us into concept four, which talks about the right of participation. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's one thing this concept talks about is there's no second-class citizens in AA. No second-class citizens. I just recently talked to a couple of guys, and they talked about, these people talked about, one is a Native American and one is an African American. And they both talked about being treated like second-class citizens in our society. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, we have no place for that. It doesn't matter what you wear. You know, the one tradition talks about conformity. We don't have to conform to anybody else's standards, because we all come in here, most of us come in here like bums. Some people still have their wallets and their cars and there are a lot of things, especially nowadays they do. But we're all torn apart inside our hearts. We all know what loneliness is and darkness is. And for us to come in and to treat others like they're different is a big mistake. And sometimes I think those are the way, some of the times that we've done that is what has created some of these things that we have in AA today that many of us don't agree with. All of the pamphlets that say, do you think you're different? And in our hearts, we're all alcoholics. We all suffer from an illness that will kill us. So I got to make sure I don't treat anybody different because they look different or they smell bad or whatever it is. You know, it's my friend Tommy always says, you know, when you go to a conference or a big meeting, you look for the first thing you do instead of running over to your regular crew is you look and see where the guy is sitting alone. Or you'll go over and see where a couple of people look like they're not very happy. And you go over there first. And you shake their hands and you offer them a cup of coffee and you make them feel like they're part of, because that's what works in Alcoholics Anonymous. And Billy, you'll have to holler when it's time to quit, okay? I like I said, I forgot the timer. But the right of participation, do we exercise the right that we have Do we go to the business meetings? Do we set up the meetings? Do we help out in our group? There's nothing worse than going to a business meeting and having an election and have nobody stand for it. I remember being at our district meeting a few years ago, and they were electing officers, and there'd be nominations. No, I can't do that. And then another nominate. No, I can't do that. Nobody was exercising their right of participation. They were exercising their self-centeredness. And that's what that's what we're prone to do now. I don't know if there's so much good stuff on the phone or there's so much good stuff online or what, but it's hard to get people to share and to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we have this beautiful, beautiful right that we can participate. We can go to our business meeting and we can have a voice in our business meeting. Our GSR can go to the district meeting and he has a right to participate in that district meeting. And our voice is heard. And our GSR can go to an assembly and have his voice heard without expecting to be criticized or to be belittled by anybody. Nobody has the right to criticize us or belittle us when we participate. And when people do that, they're wrong. Plain and simple. And you get to be as old of a codger as I am, you sometimes tell them they're wrong. You don't have the right to treat me that way. I have the right to speak. I have the right to be a part of this group conscience. And, you know, in this, again, it says, I'm not going to read that last paragraph, but this tradition, this concept talks a lot about equality, that we are all equals here, that there are no second class AA members. None. Even the delegates aren't second class. Sometimes you're tempted to, but sometimes they think they're first class, but you know, that, being a past delegate, I can tell you that's not true either. You know, that they're no damn different than the rest of us. You know, that we're just all the same, no matter what position we hold or don't hold, everybody's the same. We have the right of appeal in concept five, right of appeal and the minority voice. And the minority voice is one of the most beautiful things that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. The minority voice is actually sometimes the right voice. You know, it can be the voice that is true to the principles of AA, which sometimes it's the voice of the information that hadn't been heard before. And when it's heard, we all realize that, oh my God, that's absolutely right. That's not always true either. Sometimes the majority is just absolutely correct. I mean, we have things in place now in AA that are very good. We have this substantial unanimity. And I think we need to operate by it most of the time. Substantial unanimity in our area and in most of the things we do is a two-thirds majority. It's not just, you know, sometimes we throw around the word majority. Majority can mean or plurality, but we don't use the word plurality much around AA. This 51-49 vote, and then the group conscience wants to act on it. Or if it's in your group, maybe it's 5-6, and the group's going to take action on it. That's not unanimity. We are not in agreement with one another, obviously. And to take an action on that kind of a vote is not smart. It causes division. It causes dissension. All of those things that happen. So if you read the concept, you see that there's a lot of problems that can happen with the simple majority and with a minority. And Bill, actually, he read a book called Democracy in America by de Tocqueville. And this thing is an enormous undertaking if you ever want to try it. But in this, de Tocqueville talks about the dangers of democracy is tyranny. And how the tyranny can come about is by loud, vocal, never-ending minority gripes and complaints and whatever, always the fighting, but also by this majority of, well, we won, you're going to have to suffer with what we've done. That's not AA. That's not the AA principles that we've been given. Bill would never have wanted us to operate that way. That's why he put these things in place. We need to have substantial unanimity on everything that we do. And if we, you know, if we don't, we're going to make some mistakes. And the other thing that we do in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we've been doing it more recently, is rushing decisions, pushing things through. And we don't need to do that. If we don't have something in AA today, we don't need it tomorrow. Guarantee you. And if we haven't had it for the last 87 years, what makes you think we need to have this tomorrow? Step back, relax. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Let's get some group consciences on it. Let's get informed about it, and then we'll see. If it's still important and it still comes back up, then we'll discuss it again. We don't need to make decisions, and that can go in our own group. Same thing happens in our own group. Let's not get in a fight over whether we get double stuffed Oreos or whether we buy Folgers or Maxwell House or whatever. You know, we just have a group conscience, and we try to have this unanimity, substantial unanimity. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. What we are sometimes in a hurry when we have votes on things. Well, let you know, because we got to get this dang business meeting over right now, you know. We got to go home and watch Gunsmoke. Good Lord, we can't stand around here talk about these things. So we get in a hurry and we push these votes, and there's no hurry. We got no place to go in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have time. There's a little word that's called table it. Let's table it till the next time. We'll survive. Enough on that. Concept 6 really talks about the principle of responsibility. And about being responsible. When we are given a responsibility, are we fulfilling that position the best we can? Or am I just a title holder? God, we got a lot of title holders in AA. I know at our area, it's turned into people get elected to things and they go there and they hold their committee meeting. When that's their entire service, is going to service meetings. They're elected to do the public information or the corrections, to help set things up in the area, to do corrections work and to do public information and CPC work. They don't do any of that, but they do make sure they get to the assemblies, or they do make sure they get to the regional conferences. That's not service. Service is doing the work, going to those prisons or setting up a committee and making sure that the prisons are getting AA or finding AA if they want it. Enough on that too. 7 talks about the AA purse strings. And it's a fun thing to talk about because AA most of the time doesn't have enough money, but yet we somehow seem to have enough money. It's an interesting thing. But you have to remember AA has two means of income. The first one is our group contributions. The second one is every time you buy a book, profits go into the AA account, so that money comes from AA literature and from AA contributions. Well, we really didn't do very good during the pandemic. AA was nearly broke, but that's okay. It taught us all another lesson, I think. And when the groups all went online, I think that problem was solved pretty quickly. But you and I, if we don't like what goes on in AA, and that's a very last resort, we can withhold our money. Our group doesn't need to contribute to GSO. But I think it's a last resort because I'm not sure how effective it is now that AA is so big and that so much money does come in from literature. But we still have the power of the purse string. And if all of the groups quit contributing, there would be a real problem in AA. There's no doubt about it. And if nobody contributed to your group, you'd have to close the door. You'd probably first have to stop making coffee. Then nobody would come. You know, the power of the purse string. When I came in, the first meetings I went to, they didn't pass the basket. The basket sat in the middle of the room, in the middle of the table. There'd be 30 people at the meeting, and there would be $3 in the basket at the end of the meeting. When they'd made a decision to finally start passing the basket, there would be $30 in the basket at the end of the meeting. There's a big, big difference. We have the power of the purse string. But again, AA has a severe problem that probably I haven't seen the latest numbers. But before the pandemic, it was like 45% of the AA groups contributed to the General Service Office, less than 50%. Some areas, very, very low, 25, 30%. That's not self-supporting through our own contributions. The concept eight, the best qualified servants. Don't elect the guy that just went to the bathroom to be the new GSR. You know, that is not the best possible servant for Alcoholics Anonymous. I was elected. I had about 3 or 4 months of sobriety when I was elected to GSR. I was in the room, but I didn't even know what it stood for. I had no idea what the initials even were. What is GSR? And they told me something about, you know, well, you work for the railroad, don't you, Scott? And I said, yeah. Well, they said, you've just been railroaded. Now, I don't think that's a good method to use. You know, it worked for me. I loved what I found. You know, they directed me to find the next district meeting and to register the group. And they did all of the things that they needed to do. And maybe I was the best qualified person in the room. Now that I look back at it, it was a room full of newcomers. So, you know, it was really a tough thing. You know, it's amazing that it worked and the group still exists 47 years later. But the best qualified person, you want the best qualified person. Let's not elect people because it's good for them. God, I've heard that so many times. It would really be good for Joe to be the GSR, wouldn't it? Well, maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But would it be good for Alcoholics Anonymous if Joe was the GSR? Would it be good for our group and for our district? And you hear the same thing as DCMs or the guy that gets elected delegate. He's a glad hander. He's out there. He's shaking hands. He's doing everything. He don't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. He doesn't do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous, but he knows how to shake hands and he knows how to have fun. He's got a charming personality. Is that the best qualified person for Alcoholics Anonymous? I don't know. There's something to think about. I must be burning up my time here. Leadership in concept nine. Oh, I got a couple of minutes. Leadership. Concept nine is just, I think it's actually Bill's essay on leadership in this concept is probably some of his best writing of all. And I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to summarize a little bit about it and share some of my experiences. And it also talks about the methods of choosing our leaders in AA. And for our groups, usually we just have simple elections. We don't necessarily do the two-thirds thing and follow the third legacy process. But beyond that, we almost always do here with the districts, and we always do with the area. We do the two-thirds, the third legacy process, which is outlined in the service manual, and it's a beautiful process to watch. It's a beautiful process to watch, and if the election goes to the hat, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting, but, you know, is that God at work, or are we leaving it up to chance? But you know what it does? It eliminates politicking. It eliminates politicking. We got to eliminate that because by nature, if you're like me, you can be a self-centered egomaniac. Even though you've been recovered for a long time, those things can sneak in and you can become that politicker, you know, talking around people's backs, glad handing, whatever it might be. And not good things. We have a process to kind of stop that stuff. But we got to be at these meetings in order to see those things and to participate in them. Leadership. You know, the third legacy process is beautiful. If you ever get a chance to be a part of the third legacy process, man, do it. You know, where you have to take all of the nominees and you have a vote And then you remove a couple that don't have enough votes, and it's just a wonderful process. It really is. You just kind of feel the spirit of God entering the room as the process happens. But leadership. Oftentimes, we don't look at that very closely when we are electing people in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's oftentimes like me. You know, you're the GSR. Or it is the guy that went to the bathroom or the guy that missed the meeting that night. We elect them to something. Well, that's crazy. And in here, Bill writes about the qualities of leadership. And that starts at the group, goes right on through to the Board of Trustees. Is an example. What kind of an example of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous am I? The second thing is, do you have the capacity to be able to make plans and have ideas and put those ideas and plans into action and to get others on board with your plans and actions? Bill had a tremendous vision. Most of us don't have that kind of vision, but we can have a vision and a plan at our own level. We really can. It's not that hard. The ability to compromise. There's a word that alcoholics don't know a damn thing about. Compromise. I want my way and I want it now. But the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous is through our discussion at these various levels of group business meetings and district and area and general service conference, we have discussion. And we try to inform ourselves on things so that we can, when we can't agree, we can make some kind of compromise of what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous. What's best for AA? We often forget that. It's what's best for me. That don't work. It's what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous. The fourth thing is he talks about is the buck stops here. I am responsible for taking the actions that I have been assigned, and I am responsible when things don't quite work out, that I have to take responsibility for what's going on, no matter what the position I'm in. If I'm the GSR, I need to be responsible to the group to answer the tough questions that sometimes come up. If I'm the DCM, I got to answer to the groups. If I'm the delegate, I got to answer to all of the groups in the area. And on it is. I have to be responsible to do that. If I decide to vote against what the group conscience was, I need to explain that to the group conscience and why I changed their vote, why I changed my vote. He goes on to say that we need to have some reason. And again, that's not always an asset that I have to be reasonable, but I can be. It can be delicate and I can be sensitive and I can try to understand what other people are saying. Not always. I can be closed-minded. So to think things through also is about reason. Am I able to think things through? What is this idea that's on the floor in front of me, whether it's at the group or wherever? Am I able to think it through? Is it good for AA? It sounds good, but is it the best thing that you and I can do for Alcoholics Anonymous? He goes on to say that that we need to learn how to take criticism. And even if you're the coffee maker, you're going to learn to take criticism in AA, I'll tell you. You know, we used to have a guy that used to like to drag a coffee bean through the pot and you know, And then if you complained about it, he'd throw the key at you and say, you come and make it. So you're going to take some criticism. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. If you are going to serve, you're going to eventually take criticism, sometimes justified criticism, and sometimes very unjustified criticism. But we don't need to take anybody. We don't need to criticize anybody to the point where we're driving them away from Alcoholics Anonymous. My God, that's not the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that I've been taught. And I don't try to give criticism to anybody for doing the best that they can do. Why would I ever want to do that? They're serving. I'm sitting on my butt. I'm going to criticize them. I don't really have a right. That's up to the group. But I'll stand in judgment anyway, you know, all that is. But you're going to take criticism. If you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're a sponsor, you're going to take criticism. You know, it's a defect of character that you and I came here with and doesn't disappear easily. The ability to listen. Do I have the ability to listen to you, even though I know what you're saying, I don't agree with? That's a tough thing to do. I don't agree with you at all, but to listen and not criticize, to be able to have an intelligent, informed discussion, it can be a challenge. But you know how important it is to the group conscience to see all sides of every issue, agree with them or not. You got to see all the sides in order to see the picture. It's that mosaic on the wall. You don't want to just see one chip of it. You want to see the whole mosaic. To have vision, and I think Bill kind of repeats this from one of the other ones. To have a vision, he talked about making plans, but to have vision, have the ability to show others Alcoholics Anonymous and how this all works. And he ties it up by talking about prayer, that we need to always stay in contact with God and to practice the principles of love and tolerance. I know my time is running short and we're not anywhere near the end here, but we are near the end. Carol's reminding me we got 5 minutes. I got a timekeeper. So I I'm not sure how much more of this we're going to go into, but 10 talks about being responsible and having giving authority to the people who we've asked to be responsible. You know, you don't ask somebody to serve the group and then say, don't serve. We're not going to let you do it. You know, we want you to be the cookie person, but you don't get we're not going to give you any money to buy the cookies. You know, it's just simple things. We give them authority to go get whatever cookies they need to get, to buy the coffee that we need to have. A GSR needs to be able to make the decisions that come up in front of them at a district meeting. The group needs to make decisions as the discussion comes up about whatever the subject might be, what kind of cookies to buy. And the service manual has descriptions of all the jobs in AA that are involved in the third legacy. But concept 11 is the final responsibility. The final responsibility for Alcoholics Anonymous really does rest in our laps. It does rest in our laps. And what we do and don't do makes a difference in Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't seem like it could be possible. There's a couple million of us, 70, 80,000 groups. How could what we do or don't do make any difference? Well, it does. It does. And the 12th concept is about the warranties. And I'll just quickly read the warranties abbreviated for me. That the AA the Dental Service Conference and Board, and you and I, as far as that goes, can never be a seat of power and wealth. That we need to practice prudence as a way of life, as a way of business, as a way of service, and prudence with our money and with our actions. That unanimity needs to be a very important part of our decision-making, that we need to be in agreement with one another. We have so much division in AA. If anybody's going to any meetings, you see, today we have so much division. We don't have unanimity. It talks about that the conference should never be punitive, or the board should never be punitive, but neither should our group. Neither should I. Do I have the right to punish people? I don't know. No AA entity has the right to punish anybody. Although AA is going through some trustee resignations that most of us are not sure why that has happened. That we aren't a government. AA never have a government. That we don't have anybody in a position of authority to do any kind of punishment. And that we need to be democratic in our thoughts and our action. That we should always be democratic in thought and action. And I know that I have about burned up my time, but I just wanted to say I really thank you for this opportunity. I don't know how useful it was for all of you, but it was very useful for me. And I hope and pray that those that are here, that your home groups, that you get involved in your home group, that you become a part of AA. When I was new, I stood on the outside and watched, and that did not work. And when I got involved, my life changed completely. And when my group stands on the outside of AA, it doesn't work. It's not effective. But when it jumps in the middle with both feet and becomes a part of, it becomes a better group. The district becomes better because this group is now involved. The area becomes better because this group is now involved. This group now cares about what happens in Alcoholics Anonymous and wants to be an active participant and a voice in a fellowship that saves lives every single day. And I just want to thank you all for the opportunity. I love each and every one of you. And it's just been a real pleasure. You are the living grace of God, and that's what saved my life. Thank you so very much.